Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Another anniversary, if you like, that's coming up. Probably a 50-year anniversary, I think. And there's a certain guy that had a dream. And that dream he had was to impact a country. Not just one country, but many countries. And I'd just like to show a video clip of this person's dream that he had and the impact that it's made since then.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
Yeah.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream. That one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. A dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and mole hill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I have a dream. Martin Luther King had a dream back in 1963. And the difference that made so many people of race and colour had brought freedom, but brought troubles in its own way as well. But his heart was to have that dream, a dream that God placed upon him. And I wonder what our dream is today. What's our dream of today? As I said, it was 50 years ago. In the course of the 11 years from 1957 to 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. travelled over 6 million miles, gave over 2,500 speeches and addressed 250,000 people in his I Have a Dream speech alone. He was also arrested on some 20 different occasions. He was imprisoned. His house was bombed and he suffered personal abuse throughout this time, and was assaulted at least 4 times. He was awarded 5 honorary degrees, was named Man of the Year by Time magazine in 1963, and he became not only the symbolic leader of African Americans, but also a world leader too. It is 50 years ago, on the 28th of August 2013, that King delivered his spine-tingling I Have a Dream speech, which was instrumental in facilitating the passing of the Civil Rights Act in 1964. This landmark piece of legislation outlawed major forms of discrimination of black people, women, of people with faith, or none at all, including racial segregation in schools, workplaces, and public facilities. However, it was an ordinary bus journey that started his rise to prominence. An ordinary bus journey. How many have travelled on buses recently? Maybe it's your ordinary bus journey that's going to give you the dream, that's going to change a nation, that's going to say so many speeches around so many countries. What's your dream this morning? What's your dream this morning? What's your dream this morning? It started with a bus journey. We have a dream, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. It says we have a dream for Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Dan, can you put that up for us, please? We dare to dream. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a daydreamer. I'm a daydreamer. I dare to dream. Come on, let's hear it. I dare to dream. Do we dare to dream this morning? I dare to dream. We dare to dream of a church where people are loved, accepted and restored. We dare to dream where the blind see, the deaf hear and the lonely find friendship. We dare to dream of a church that is full of God's love, where the tangible presence and love of God is known, felt and shared with others. We dare to dream of a church that is growing week by week, as lives are impacted with the truth of Jesus Christ. We dare to dream that equips people to know who they are in Christ, to know his life and freedom and help them discover their purpose and their destiny. We dare to dream of a church where the people meet with God and make Jesus known. We dare to dream of a church that is influencing a whole region. We dare to dream of a church that is local but has a big vision that sends people out all over the world. And we dare to dream of a church that brings honour and glory to Jesus Christ. And we dare to dream of a church that is just great fun to be at. We dare to dream. Yes, we dare to dream because we've got a big God that gives us big dreams.
Yeah,
You know, a dream is no good unless it has legs to run with. Let's look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Sorry, just a quick verse there. But it's from a prophecy that was spoken earlier. And it says this, it says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. God says he will pour out his spirit on all people. On all people, on you on the front row, on you in the second row, on the third row, on the fourth row, on all people, he's going to pour out his spirit in the last days. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Come on, we need to be dreaming. We need to be carrying the dream and putting legs on it. We need to be running with a dream. We've got to run with it. We've got to own it. We've got to declare it. We've got to live it. We've got to breathe it. We've got to see it come to fruition. Because it all started with a bus ride for Martin Luther King, and the nations that he impacted is tremendous. Think about the nation that we're impacting here today. Not just here in Scarborough as a town, but also a county and also a country and also a nation and nations beyond, because we send people out, because we dare to dream of a church that is going to be powerful. We dare to dream of a church that's going to be running with the promises of God, that is full of God's love, where the tangible presence is felt, where people's lives are transformed and changed, where people's lives are loved. We dare to dream this morning. We dare to dream tomorrow. We dare to dream on Wednesday and Thursday. We dare to dream for this coming year. We dare to dream because we're going to run with it. And we're going to see the fruit of it. If we don't dare to dream and we don't run with it, then it's going to fall on the ground. It becomes nothing. And God will take it somewhere else. Because when God speaks, his word doesn't return to him void, but it accomplishes that which is for which it was sent. And as he's speaking over this town and over this church and over the church in Scarborough, we always talk about one church. Pastor Paul is so adamant about the one church, and rightly so. There's many congregations, but there's one church. And the unity that we have and the unity and the love that we have for one another in this town is fantastic. And we praise God and we glorify him and we cherish that and we protect that. Because for leaders to come together from different denominations and have the same vision and the same calling and the same dream to run with, to see a town changed, to see a county changed, to see a nation changed, it's just, we just give praise to God for all his glory. I honour every single leader within the churches of Scarborough, within the congregations of Scarborough. And I just ask God to fill the churches like they were filled years ago. But that he does it differently today than he would back then. Because he's got you and I that are riding on a bus, and he's got a dream for you, and he's got a dream for me. And this is our dream to carry, to run with, to live with, to breathe with. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I bless Gemma for last week. You know, she's talking about the word. She's what Christ in us. How big are we, you know? We might feel small with our problems and our the things that go on in life, the storms of life. But within us is a big God. And as we are focusing this morning and declaring through the songs, I don't know if it was the first or second song, but there's something as we declare in worship that Christ comes to inhabit the praises of his people. And we start to worship him and he starts to change things, because it's not of flesh and blood, but it's of the spiritual realm. And we're going to see a change in this nation. We're going to see a change in this town. Who wants to see the congregation double? Then bring somebody next week. I challenge myself in this. Come on. If we want to see the dream fulfilled, we've got to start inviting people along. All they can say is no thank you. But they might just say, yeah, I'll come with you. I'll come with you. I want to share that dream you got. I'm going to sit next to you on the bus. I'm going to run with that dream. I'm going to live that dream that you got. Because there's something that I want. What's our dream? Come on. The dream. We dare to dream. We dare to dream of a nation being changed, of a town being changed, of our village being changed, of our neighbours being changed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, a word that Jeremiah brought about the speaking the truth, and the word became flesh. You know, all last week as I was been reading Breakfast of Champions by Andy Elms, all my daily readings were about the word and the mouth and declaring the truth. And as we do that, and as we say things over our lives, There is a spiritual change, there's a spiritual realm that changes in the spiritual, and the circumstances that we're living in, we see change. But if we don't start declaring it, if we don't start getting into the Word and into the truth that has set us free, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That if we don't start declaring that and drawing close to God and running with it each day, then the spiritual realm just stays the same. But as we start declaring, as we start singing, as we start worshipping, as we start speaking, then our lives, circumstances change and other lives change too. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. There's an excitement that's swelling up. There's an excitement that's coming within us of seeing a town change. I don't want to see this town the same in a year's time as it is now. But I want to see our numbers increase. I want to see the numbers for St. Mary's increase. I want to see numbers increase in SCF. I want to see numbers increase in the Baptist churches. I want to see numbers increase in the Catholic churches. I want to see numbers increase in every congregation within this town, that the walls are swelling because of a dream that we're rolling with, because of lives that we're going to change, that you're going to change. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? Well, that's four of you. What about the rest of you? Can I give, I want to share a story. There's some friends of ours, very close friends. And 2 weeks ago, we normally only get in contact with each other maybe once a year. And I won't say the names, but 2 weeks ago, I had a text and several phone calls. And when your friends are at the far side of the country, it's difficult sometimes to be able to minister into people's lives. But all you have is the truth. And the truth changes things. And this is what happens when you start speaking the truth over people and over people's lives. I'll get there eventually. There's been long texts since then. I think we've communicated with each other so much over the last 2 weeks, more than we have done in probably the last 5 years, really. Hello, Brian. He's making progress. She's still very sedated, but okay. What happened was that she had a mental breakdown. And they were down in Holiday, down in Cornwall. And I got this phone call. We had phone calls from both of our friends. And they were struggling. And her husband was really struggling. He couldn't get her out of her bed. And all I could do was just speak the truth and declare healing over his wife. And our friend, he said, I think... his wife is making progress. She's still very sedated, but okay. She ended up being sectioned and taken into hospital when they got home. But since then, because of the things we've been able to share as friends and the truth that we've been speaking over their lives, their prayer life has come together. And they're praying together now and on a daily basis. And now the wife of our friend, she's now coming out on day visits now. He's able to go and collect her. Today she's meeting up with her family friends who are going down there. But there's a situation, you know, when we start talking the truth and speaking the truth over people's lives, something changes in the spiritual and people are set free. And it doesn't matter if you're 2 miles away, if you're a mile away, if you're 100 miles away. It's what we speak makes a difference. Because words bring life or they bring death. And we can either concentrate on the negative things or we can concentrate on the positive things. And as we concentrate on the positive things, it starts bringing life into situations. It starts bringing hope into people's lives. It starts transforming them and their minds change and situations change. Sicknesses go. Sicknesses go. Poverty is broken. just because of the word of the truth, because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And it's been tremendous this week of being able to, it's been such an honor in hosting the way Freedom in Christ this week, that several people within our church have found that freedom in Christ and has set them free of things that have gone in the past. And it's a great course. If you've never done it, if you've visited us here and you've never done Freedom in Christ, it's a tremendous tool to use because it just breaks everything off. It just confirms everything that's been broken off because Jesus said it 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. And God had a dream. God had a dream that every man and woman and child should be reconciled unto him. And the way he managed to do that was to send Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, into the world. One that carried the dream, one that ran with the dream, one that lived the dream, one that breathed the dream of wanting to have that relationship with you and I. What a dream that is. Because it's not just for a day, it's not just for a season, it's not just for 5 years, it's not for 10 years, it's for eternity. And that's a dream that God's running with for us today. That he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And life isn't easy all the time. My phone's been quite busy this week, but we continue to speak the truth over people's lives. And we'll see a breakthrough because as the word returns to God, it doesn't return to a void, but it accomplishes for which it has been sent. Paul in the New Testament had loads of dreams and visions, and he saw success after success, but he suffered. But who knows, the flesh is only just for a short time. And then we'll be transformed as we go to heaven. Praise God, I'm looking forward to that day when my knees aren't creaking anymore. A new body, hallelujah. Let's turn to Acts and have a look at some of Paul's, some of the things that Paul had as dreams and visions. Acts 23 and verse 11. I praise God for the power of the word. The word releases, it brings freedom, it sets people free. And this is when Paul was before the Sanhedrin. And as he was coming, they're trying to kill Paul. Verse 11, it says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Who knows that God draws alongside us and he speaks to us? What do we do when he speaks to us? What do we do when he speaks to us? The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they killed Paul. Well, I'll tell you what, there must have been some very thin Jews. They must have been very hungry because they weren't going to eat or drink until they killed him. And guess what? He went to Rome. Let's have a look at his journey. Let's turn to Acts 27. He'd already put his case to King Agrippa and Festus and the other leaders, but he appealed to Caesar. So Paul sails for Rome, and when it was decided, 27 verse 1 in Acts, when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded ship from Adramyttium, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea of the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia.
There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lassie. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that the voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Shona read out of Psalm 146 this morning. I'd just like to turn back there, actually. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing."
You know, sometimes when we don't listen to leadership, we can find ourselves in places where we shouldn't be. Paul was warning the centurion not to set sail because he'd had a vision, he'd had a dream about what was going to happen if they set sail. But he chose to ignore Paul and go on the advice of other men. We have to be careful. We start taking advice from those, from other men within the country that aren't in authority or in a place of leadership, because we can find ourselves in difficult problems. We can find ourselves in storms of life, in storms that we should never be in. The leadership doesn't take it lightly in giving advice, that we seek God in everything that we decide to do. As the leadership of this church, as the leaders of your house groups, as the pastors within the church and other leaders, that if you come to us for advice instead of just taking the advice of maybe others around you, it can lead to storms in life that we shouldn't be going through. It's sometimes wise to listen to the leadership, although at times it might think nonsense to yourselves and to myself. I've been there. I've been through storms in life where I haven't listened to leadership. Praise God, he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he turns the good things out of bad things, that he protects us through the storms. But sometimes the storms I wish I hadn't gone through because of my own understanding rather than the understanding and the wisdom of the leaders that were around me at the time. So let's get back to Paul then. So the centurion decided not to listen to Paul and follow the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Best laid plans of men and mice. See? Since the harbour was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbour in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Corda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm. Who knows that storms can be battering?
Who knows the storms of life can be battering? But we have a God that's able to overcome. We have a God that loves. We have a God that cares. We have a God that's able to uphold. We have a God that's able to set us free. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that next day, they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice."
Nothing like a bit of I told you so, is there? If only you'd listened.
"You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, then you'd have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage."
Come on, if people don't listen to the leadership, we still need to encourage them. We still need to draw alongside them and say, "Look, come on. You might be where you are, but we're here to lift you up. We're here to take you along. We're here to dream of people being set free. We're dreaming of a church that has grown week by week as lives are impacted with the truth of Jesus Christ. We're dreaming of a church that is influencing a whole region. We're dreaming of a church where people are taking their own ideas and taking it forward, and they burn and crash and they come into the situation of storms of life. We still draw alongside them and say, "Look, even though you didn't listen to me, let's carry on walking together."
"But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost."
Wow, not one of you will be lost. Imagine being on that board that ship, the storms of life, when you think you're on your own, that there's no hope that you're going to die. And then someone says, "Don't worry, you're not going to be lost. You're not going to die. There's hope for you. There's hope for you, and there's hope for you, and there's hope for your family. And there's hope for your brothers and sisters that aren't yet saved. And there's hope for your husbands that aren't yet saved. And there's hope for your wives that aren't yet saved."
And then another dream that Paul had had, or a vision that he'd had. "Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid.'" Oh, just the everlasting arms of Jesus. They come around us and they comfort us and they say, "I'm with you. I'm with you." And as we focus on him, the storms seem to get less because of the light of the world, because of the glory that he pours upon us, because of the hope we have in him, that he's placed our feet upon a rock of salvation and not upon sinking sands. And he says, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you."
Praise God. God has given us all the lives of Scarborough. He's given us a responsibility to see people set free in our towns and in our villages and our neighbours and our places of work.
"Do not be afraid, Paul." So he knew he was going to go to Rome. "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island." On the 14th night, that's some storm.
Sometimes days can turn into months, into years.
"On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors. They were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away."
It's not always a case about jumping into the lifeboat. It's not always a case about the easy option of getting out. It's not always the option about taking the easy way and leaving the storm behind us. Sometimes God wants us to go through the storm. And sometimes we have to come under the authority and the guidance of our leaders and eventually say, "Yes, I got it wrong." Because otherwise we could be drifted away, we could lose our lives, we could be shipwrecked forever. So what did Paul say? He said to the centurions, "Unless you cut those lifeboats away, we're all going to perish." You know, when God speaks and he directs and he plans and he has a purpose for our lives, let's keep to that road. Let's keep to that walkway. Let's keep to that, as they call it, the narrow way. But it's not narrow because there's hundreds and thousands of believers that are upon it. It's narrow compared to the Broadway. The Broadway of earth, if you like. The Broadway of natural living. The Broadway of a lost eternity. A Broadway where maybe one or two of you are on this morning. Come off the Broadway and come onto the narrow way. Don't always jump into the lifeboat. It's not always the answer. Sometimes we have to go through the storms of life to get to where God's taking us. It builds character. It develops us as believers. It builds our faith. It takes us from one level to another level of our faith, of believing, yes, God is for me, he's not against me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no I can't, but I can. Don't just jump into the lifeboat unless it's one that's sent from God. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Oh, what words of encouragement. But we need to be eating. We need to be eating. We need to be eating the word of God. God says, I'm the bread of life. Come and eat from me. If we don't eat, we're going to get weak. If we don't eat, we're going to fall. If we don't eat, we're going to lose a vision. If we don't eat, we'll lose a dream. If we don't eat, we can't run with the vision. If we don't eat, we can't live the vision. If we can't, come on, we need to be eating from God. We need to be dwelling in the Word of God. That's the bread of life. Oh, such richness, such health, such vitamins. This is the best medicine. Is that right, Nigel? Nigel's our doctor. Yeah. The best medicine, I tell you, if we stick to the word. It's a great manual for living healthily. I praise God for doctors and nurses in our hospitals, having just been there. Yeah. They do a great job. But God's healing, God's, you know, the word of God, it's God breathed, it's living, it's got a purpose for our lives. It's not something that was written years ago and it's got no relevance of today. That's the only thing that's got relevance of today in my life. That's the only thing that should have relevance of today in your life, because it gives you the promises. It gives you the yes and the amen. It gives you the dreams. It gives you the visions. It gives you God speaking to you. It gives you God with his relationship and his humanity and everything else that he's done for you to draw close to you, to say, I'm the lifeboat. I'm the one you should be walking with. I'm the one you should be running with. I'm the one you should be dreaming with. I'm the one that's giving you the hope. I'm the one that's giving you the desires of your heart. I'm the one that's giving you the freedom. I'm the one that's giving you whatever it is that he's giving you. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. Sometimes we think we're out the storm, but sometimes it's just maybe just something else that we have to go through with God. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Are you reaching your destination safely? Are you reaching your destination safely? Everyone. My brothers, my sisters, your mums, your dads, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbours, everyone. Reach the land safely. Just turning back to Psalm 146.
Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the grounds. On that very day, their plans come to nothing.
Who knows the plans and purposes of Christ? Are yes and amen. It says, a word shall never perish. Although heaven and earth may fall away, my word will remain forever.
Let's stand on the word of God. Let's run with the word of God. Let's run and walk with the dreams and the visions that he's given us for this town, for this country, for this nation. Father, we thank you. Blessed is he whose help is a God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets, the Lord gives, the Lord lifts, the Lord loves, the Lord watches, the Lord sustains, the Lord opens.
Amen.
Come on, the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the ailing and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. The Lord opens the ears of the deaf. The Lord blesses with every spiritual blessing. The Lord heals all our diseases. The Lord comforts me. The Lord is my strength and my shield. The Lord is everything to me. Come on, we have a dream and we have a vision of seeing God. And we're going to run with it, and we're going to breathe it, and we're going to live it, and we're going to see a nation changed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I said this morning. I said, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Come on, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let's get on our feet. Do you believe it? Do you believe you're a nation changer? Do you believe you're carrying something of God that's precious? Do you believe that you can make a difference? Do you believe you're that person on the bus that God has given a dream to? A dream that's going to come true. A dream you're going to run with. A dream you're going to live. A dream you're going to breathe. Do we believe it, church? I said, do we believe it, church? Do you want to see a nation changed? Do you want to see your town changed? Do you want to see your neighbours changed? Do you want to see the church grow? Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you give us a dream. You give us a dream for our nation. You give us a dream for our country. You give us a dream for our town. You give us a dream for our villages, Lord. Father, help us to take that word with us, Father God. Help us to run with a dream. Help us to be nation changers. Help us to be changing our neighbours, Father God. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. We thank you this morning, Lord God, for being influenced, for being influenced by your Holy Spirit, for seeing the way Jesus walked upon this earth, for seeing him live out a plan and a dream of God that every man and woman and child should be saved, that none should perish, but all should have eternal life. Father, help us to take that passion. Help us to take that dream. Help us to run with it. Help us to see this nation change, Father God, for your glory and your purposes and your promises. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you all the praise. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to give opportunity this morning for prayer. Maybe to stand with you to see a dream come true. Maybe it's a storm that you're going through and you want someone to stand with you, to pray with you, to declare the truth over you, or to declare the truth with you. Who knows, we need to declare the truth ourselves. So we need to stand with you in declaration this morning. We need to stand with you and say, yes, I'm believing for that for you this morning. If that's you this morning, if you've got some kind of illness or sickness you want us to stand with and see God lift off your life, and come forward this morning in a minute. If you've got a plan or a dream and you're not sure which way to go, then take it to your house group leader. Take it and speak to people about it. Come to the leadership this morning and say, yeah, I believe God's saying this. We need to write these things down. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your promises and your purposes, that they are yes and amen. We thank you that your word is living
and sharper than a double-edged sword, that it cuts through bone and marrow. We thank you, Father God, that it's a word that we can stand on, and it's a rock of our salvation, and it's a shield of faith, and it's a belt of truth wrapped around us. We thank you, Father God, for the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Father, we thank you that we walk with shoes of the gospel of peace. And as we go from here, Father God, we go with your glory, we go with your power, we go with your dream. A dream to see a nation changed. A dream as we're sitting maybe on that bus. Father God, we'll be impacting nations to come, in the days to come and the years ahead. We give you all the glory, praise and honour. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.